to be around brothers and sisters in Christ and have a good time. I almost felt guilty last night for laughing and cutting up, and I thought, well, that's just silly. We ought to be a happy people. We ought to be a joyful people. Brother Mike here and Brother Andy put on there the other day, a while back, they asked me, they said, what do you want to talk about? Just like they thought I was going to talk. Which one you want? And I said, well, I want to talk about being happy versus joy, because I already think I know what that is. You know, you can be happy without being joyful, and you really, I don't know if you can be joyful without being happy, but we'll look at it this morning and see if we can decide. I think joy is a lot deeper. Joy does not depend on circumstances. Joy is something that you have in your heart and you keep in your heart. I used to work at General Electric years ago. I spent several years there. And of course, every factory, those of you who work factories, you understand, know you bid on jobs, and based on seniority, you get it. Well, I was one of the last ones hired in a huge hiring. And so the jobs that I could get was just mainly what everybody else didn't want. So I was in the worst area, and the worst set of jobs come up. But there was one set of jobs came up that really didn't look too bad. And I thought, well, I'd probably like to do that. And nearly everybody around there said, no, you don't want to work back there. And I said, why? The jobs look fairly easy. I think it'd be a good place to work. And they said, you don't want to work back there. And so I thought, well, how bad could it be? I went back there and looked around and talked to the people back there. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to try it. Nobody bid against me. It was up. Boy, old Ron got his job. And I went back there and I met a woman. She was about 20 years older than me, give or take. Maybe not that much older. And she... I don't know how to describe her. She made a pessimist look like an optimist. You know? She gave pessimists a bad name for sure. But nothing was ever right with that woman. Nothing management did, nothing anybody else did, the job, the model, it did. She was happy about 3 times a week. She was happy, well, she was happy every day at lunch. She liked lunch. And she liked going home. She would actually smile when it was time to go home. And then if we was, you know, like the weekend, she'd be pretty happy about that. She was awful to be around. Those of you who know me know I had a bout with sugar diabetes a few years ago. I told the doctor it was her. He did not believe me. He put me on medicine. I was going to work one day and I had eaten lunch and I got really sick and I pulled in a immediate care because I thought I was having a heart attack. And they said, your sugar's like 360 or something. He said, that's not what's making you sick. He said, it's been up over 1,000. He said, you're feeling low blood sugar right now, even with it at 360. And I thought, wow, that's pretty bad. But you know, since I quit working with that woman, I don't have sugar diabetes. She would mess you up. Awful woman. And then you get around somebody like Phoebe. And I heard Brenda say, I won't steal her. Well, the reason she said that is because there's always a smile on that face. I thought she and I had a battle last night, and I thought she'd probably never look at me again. But 10 minutes later, she was fine.
Hey, Papa, give a hug.
The difference between momentary happiness, and that woman, she did. She had moments where she was happy. I'm going home. I'm happy. Monday's a holiday. I'm happy. Right back at it. And then there's other people who are joyful. And we need to be in the latter category. We need to be joyful. We have got so much to be thankful for. We do not realize what we have to be thankful for. Not until it's gone, usually, do we really appreciate what we have. Some of you probably don't have a mortgage on your house. Some of you may. What if what if you got a letter from the bank when you got home and they said, we've discussed among the board of directors and we've decided we're going to forgive your mortgage? Now, I would be happy with the bank. I would be very happy with it. I would tell my friends about the bank. I would say, this is a fine institution. I would say, you know what? I'd always have a little soft spot in my heart for the bank if they'd do that for me. I really would. Now think what Christ did for us on the cross. The sin that He paid for us that we couldn't have possibly have ever paid. The only way we can pay the debt for sin is to die. That's it. That's the price. And Jesus paid that. And a lot of times we just go about it like, oh yeah, Jesus died. Yeah. Oh yeah, He paid the debt for me. We sing that song. He paid it all. Yeah. What's for supper? That's the attitude. We don't appreciate. Now I'm speaking more toward myself than anybody. I'm not condemning anybody. But I know sometimes I don't appreciate what I got. I don't appreciate what the Lord did enough. I don't think we realize the depth of it and the greatness of the gift that was given to us. Wouldn't it be awful if God got tired of forgiving us? God got tired of being merciful to us. Says His mercies are new every morning. Lamentations tells us that. I really think our thankfulness ought to be new every morning. Ought to just be new. You imagine if Christ had not come? I mean, seriously, have you ever tried to think about what your life would be like if Christ had not come? That's a scary thought. To be living under the old law at best. At best. May not even heard about that. Being born on this side of the pond and not even Jewish. We might not even ever heard of that. Can you imagine? Think also about this. We know about the tares. And I mentioned that in the lesson the other day. Everybody knew what it meant. Tares growing with the wheat. We know that means that Jesus is going to come back and He's going to take the righteous and going to gather the tares, the sinners, going to bind them in bundles, going to burn them. We understand what that means. Parable of the sower. Going out and he sows. Some goes on good ground. I've heard different people mention that many, many times, even in the last few days. We know what that parable means. All these parables that Jesus taught, we know what they mean. We know and understand the biblical and the spiritual implications of every one of them. But I want you to listen to Matthew 13:34. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake He not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things that have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Do you realize that when you hear these stories, when you hear these parables, then when we're privileged to hear what they mean, these things have been kept secret from the very foundation of the world. And He's told them to us. That ought to make you happy. That ought to make you just want to give God a hug. To thank Him for being so generous with us. We are the recipients of century after century of preparation. Getting ready. And we're the ones that are blessed. We're the ones that's blessed. Do we study this marvelous Word? This Word that He's given us? I want to just read a few verses and then I'll let you all talk about whatever. 1 John 2:25. This is the promise that He promised us, even eternal life. You get sick, get older, turn 50. That's what happened to me. Get ready to. Won't let me forget that. But he's promised us eternal life. Eternal life. 1 John 5:11. This is the record that God hath given us eternal life. And his life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. That you may know and believe. In John chapter 3 and verse 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus didn't come to condemn us. If he had, how easy would that have been? You know, I've heard different people say, well, if I was Jesus and I could call all them angels, I don't know if I'd have stayed on the cross. That's a valid statement. That is an absolutely valid statement. If he had come to condemn us, how easy would that have been? How long would it have lasted? If he'd been on the cross, and he said, Father, now I can't do it. They're not worth it. Good thing he didn't. Good thing he didn't. Not at least for us. Romans 8:37. This was read Wednesday evening. Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from God. And finally, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 3, he said, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers. Now, here's the part I want you to hear, whose names are in the book of life. Whose names are... Did you ever stop right now and think, is your name in the book of life? John said, I came so that you could know. John said, I'm writing this so you can understand. You know what he wrote? You know what he was writing about? I wrote these things so you could know you have eternal life. What was he writing about? Better get a Bible and look. It must be kind of important. So you may know that you have eternal, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known in all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We ought to be walking on air. Brother Bill Prince the other day, he showed us different ways that we can be more optimistic. And this morning, all I want to do is remind you, if you want to be more joyful, if you want to be happy in your life, be thankful. Understand what it is that makes your life blessed. And give God the glory for it, because it came from Him. And above all else, thank Him for His Son, for the gift of Jesus on the cross that paid a debt that we could not possibly have ever paid in 3 lifetimes. And thank Him that He has given us, beyond this life, a home in heaven eternal life, a gift. All he says is follow me. I thank you for listening.